Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A place that was much more politically astute. That was the big thing for me, you know, walking out of Jordan and walking into Ferrari. All of a sudden you're in this place which is, you know, far better run. You've got much more resource to do what you want. You've got, you know, a bigger set of, you know, bigger group of people to do what you want in terms of engineering terms, just the infrastructure and the culture of winning is there from the outset. But it was a more politically astute place as well. You had to kind of, you know, you couldn't go there and think that the way that you acted as a team or even as an individual in a place like Jordan or Benetton of the day, you know, places like that, would be, you know, acceptable in a place like Ferrari, because there was a hierarchy. But that hierarchy was very, very good in setting boundaries. And I think that's what they did very well. And it wasn't an overbearing hierarchy. You know, if you take the, you know, the at the top of the tree was Jean Todt, who kind of looked after me from the outset of going to Ferrari, and then directly under him was Ross, and Ross worked with, you know, Paolo Martinelli on the engine side, Rory Byrne on the design side, but really Ross was the technical boss, and they just did a fantastic job of running the company, and they set the boundaries of where they wanted us to work. But they also had a very, very clear vision and a very, very clear plan. And that was the first time I'd actually seen that. And that, you know, I learned so much in those early formative years at Ferrari, where I could kind of watch these Formula One megas at work, really, and see how they worked together and see how they interacted. And it was only when they left as well that you understood how much they were doing. You know, because we were dominant in 2003, in 2004, you know, and 6 and 7 and 8, you know, the car was the best car ever. It was totally dominant, especially that 04 car. You know, it was the same level of dominance as probably what Mercedes have got now. Probably a little bit more at times, because we were finishing races a minute in front of other people, which is slightly embarrassing at times. In fact, Monza that year, we lapped everybody. By the end of the first lap, because of general mistakes, bad decisions, I think we were, Michael and Rubens were last and penultimate. And they finished the race first and second, almost lapping Fernando Alonso in third. So
that is bonkers, isn't it? Is that inevitable in our sport that it's cyclical, a team will just hit a purple patch? And because at the moment there's lots of, oh, it's just so boring, but hasn't that always been the case? That, you know, now with Mercedes, before that with Red Bull, and then with you at Ferrari, that it's just the way sport works, or at least Formula One.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. And I think what we don't do enough, you know, I was reading about the Premiership. I'm slightly obsessed with football, and I was reading about, you know, what Man City have done this year, which is incredible, to be honest. And when you read about it, it's kind of, everything's written, and everything, the whole narrative there is a celebration of excellence. And what we don't do in Formula One, I don't think, is we don't celebrate the excellence. You know, we're about the pinnacle of motorsport. We're about being excellent. We're about achieving, you know, the ultimate goals. And when you get a team like Mercedes, and before that Red Bull, and before that Ferrari, what we're not doing, we celebrate for a short while because they're kind of, they've knocked whoever was the previous king off their throne. So we celebrate that for a short while, but very quickly we get bored of it. And what we don't do
almost
is...
almost resent it a bit.
And totally resent it because it's ruining the sport and all the rest of it. But it's not their fault, you know. And it's like Lewis Hamilton, you know, Lewis come out with after the French Grand Prix that, you know, don't blame us kind of thing. We don't make the rules. And he's dead right. You know, it's not the drivers. It's not the team's fault. You know, the... as a whole, Formula One, the teams, the drivers, the commercial rights holder, the governing body, you know, we all have a responsibility to put on a show and to make it entertaining. But if the formula is such that it allows for somebody to dominate, then let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate their success and how good they are and what they're doing as a team. You know, you look at Mercedes now, and they are for want of a better word, and I'll get killed in all courts for saying this, but they're dominant. Of course they are. But they've worked their asses off to get into that position, you know. And I've been in a position where I've been part of a team that's worked its ass off to get into a position of utter dominance, where you're winning everything, and you kind of get slated, and you think, well, that can't be right, because, like, you know, where do you win? Have you got like this period of like 6 months where you are initially winning, and that's all right, and before that you're rubbish because you're not winning, and then after you're winning too much.
I think it's a British thing. I mean, because when I'm thinking about those who are making the complaints, it does seem to be from these quarters. And I am always surprised that Lewis Hamilton doesn't get more praise. You know, this is a five-time world champion that has done incredibly well. His story should be a movie. I'm sure it will be. But I just think we love a plucky underdog. And then beyond that, the minute people start just getting a bit too successful, I want to bring them back down to earth.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think...
Why do we do it?
I don't know. It's part of our culture, isn't it? I've got no idea why we don't just celebrate, you know, somebody who is dominant and brilliant. You know, we always want the... I think it's a natural part of the culture that you want an underdog to do well. Of course you do. But then that shouldn't be so imbalanced that you can't also celebrate, you know, excellence and dominance. And Lewis is a prime example. You know, the lad's done fantastic. He's not from a particularly wealthy background. You know, I don't really know a lot about his background, but I don't think he's from a particularly wealthy background. He was picked up by McLaren when he was young. But he's done a lot of that himself, you know, and his talent is mercurial. He's absolutely brilliant in that car, and that's what Mercedes pay him for. But also, he's got that whole, you know, you've got to give a lot of credit to Toto and the team as well for the way that they've made the whole thing gel together, you know, and they just keep knocking out, you know, brilliant car after brilliant car. But he keeps delivering it as well, and I think there's you know, it's so dominated by the car now and engineers, Formula One, that there's very few drivers that you could put in a less than brilliant car and hope that they're going to win the world championship for you. In fact, you can count them on one or two, maybe three fingers, and he's one of them.
Yeah, I mean, as an engineer, what is it like working with someone like that? You know, as you say, it's, well, I don't know, what percentage would you give it, car versus driver?
It depends on the driver. It absolutely depends on the driver. You know, it's a good question, and people are always asking it. But I think it depends on the driver. I don't think you can say, you know, for this driver it's 50-50. Definitely for Lewis, it's 50-50. It may be even, you know, 60-40 in his favour. For other drivers, you know, let's say not AAA grade drivers who've got in brilliant cars and can still win and win world championships as well. It's perhaps, you know, 60-40, 70-30 in the car's favour. So it really depends on the driver and his talent. But Lewis is very much a AAA grade talent that we should be celebrating on a daily basis.
Would you like the opportunity to work with Lewis if you do go back into the sport? Would you like to go at the top end of the sport or come in with a lower team and bring them up through the ranks?
I've got no fixed idea, but right now, if I think about it, I think I would like to go back in, having kind of tasted both sides over the last however many years it is, of going in there and having success in something that's been built and contributing to that in some way, of course, or maybe contributing in a bigger way to a project and bringing that up. I think that I would like to go into something which has that success. If you're going to do Formula One, you know, or my attitude of, if you're going to do Formula One, then you've got to get out of bed on a Sunday morning and have skin in the game. Mm. You know, you've got to get out of bed on a Sunday morning and think, right, we can win this today, and that be a realistic chance as well, not just some, you know, pie in the sky dream. So I think if, you know, if when, you know, I do go back into it on a full-time basis.
Ooh, they said it was if/when, and I felt that the emphasis was more on when.
Really? I've just said if when, that's all I've said, Natalie. If I do go into it on a full-time basis, then I think I'd like to do it with a top team and be part of that, you know, contribute to that success.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.